Hello, this is James Grunvig with Unrestricted Warfare on Decentralized.media. I'm here with Joseph Hickman. He is with the Beef Reserve and several other ag and other beef entities in Idaho. He's got an amazing story because, like the rest of us, he was impacted by the COVID Cy War of 2020, the vaccine rollout 2021, locking down businesses. We will get into that in a minute. But John Jr. Trump put out a very interesting tweet on the image of Michael Douglas in Falling Down, the 1993 movie, in which he basically blows a fuse because the world's gone insane. Well, the world wasn't insane in 93. It's insane now for the last 5 years, but it wasn't insane back then. But it was very interesting. And that's related to a Q post called 4001 that talks about what? Talks about the walls are falling down, meaning the deep state's walls. The enemy's walls are falling down. Think about Jericho and those things. Very biblical what's going on. I want to play part of the trailer from that 1993 movie to bring you up to speed of what's going on.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Turn around, look at that. You see what I mean? It's plump, it's juicy, it's 3 inches thick. Now, can anybody tell me what's wrong with this picture?
Having a bad day. Going nowhere fast. The economy making you tense. Afraid to walk the streets. Life in the 90s got you down? What are you gonna do about it?
Hey! Where do you think you're going? Going home.
I am just trying to get home with my little girl's birthday. If everybody will stay out of my way, then nobody will get hurt.
Give me some money.
Give us your briefcase.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me.
In the battlefield of life.
I was willing to mind my own business, but you couldn't leave it alone, could you?
The time has come.
Move up or move back, you donkey!
For Bill Foster to fight back.
You forgot the briefcase!
And what would a white guy in a white shirt and tie be doing in gangland?
In America, we have the freedom of speech, the right to dis...
Yes, good old gangland, but what's interesting is the movie, the trail starts off with food, with fast food, and fast food is getting fully exposed now out by a lot of the waking up younger groups that are actually testing them. They found like 40 different chemicals that are not man-made, you know, that are not organic, that are man-made in Chick-fil-A and other fast food restaurants. And so there is a big fallout coming besides California raising its fast food prices. Right. And the minimum wage is $20 now, or whatever. So all the prices like Chick-fil-A lunch will cost you $40, which, you know, might be fine for Joe and I, but it's not going to be fine for the average college student anymore. And so things are changing. But you're involved in a very special project, the Beef Reserve. Joe, tell us what that's all about.
Wow. Thanks so much. I'm so happy to be on your show and with your tribe, James. The Beef Reserve is an amazing just concept that when the pandemic hit here in Burley, Idaho, we had this little retail shop called Burley Meats, right? And we just didn't realize, I mean, Walmart started running out of food. Some of the other local Kroger stores, it's called Smith's Food King, but it's a grocery store. It started running out of meat. And we just didn't feel that as, you know, cattlemen and ranchers, because this little retail store of ours just had meat all the time. We just go get a cow and kill the cow. So we realized at that point, like, how do we offer this to the public? And is the public interested, right? That yep. Can we offer a quarter beef, a half beef, a full beef to the public, shipped right to their door, bypassing all of the, you know, the conglomerates, the huge stores and distribution chains. And we realized, hey, I think people will go for this. And we give them the same comfort. But what we have one other thing that we offer that nobody else has is what we call a locker space. We have 160,000 square feet of cold storage.
Yep.
That is about 10 football fields and four stories high, and it's all under cold storage. We didn't build this plant. It was built years and years ago to house potatoes, and then those potatoes went somewhere else, and so we have this building, and we took it over, and so now we have this ability to offer this locker space for anybody. So somebody in a city, somebody in a small apartment building, if they want a reserve of beef, we can hold it for them, and we can send them consistent shipments. You know, so if they buy a quarter beef, which is, I mean, that's a lot of meat. That's 150 pounds of beef. But who wants 150 pounds in their freezer, right? They probably want 10 or 15 or 20, you know. So we've agreed to send, you know, boxes of around 30 pounds a box, you know, on whatever schedule they want to take it down. But they always have that reserve of beef. And so that was the concept. And it's catching and people are liking it.
It sounds like carnivore heaven to me, to be honest with you. It's also, you know, it was interesting in Florida the other day, Governor Ron DeSantis has banned lab-grown meat here in Florida. So I find that really interesting timing. I think people are waking up that a lot of countries do not import food from the United States because they don't trust it, right? Or they don't even serve food made in the United States. And so what you're doing is different than what the gatekeepers or conglomerates are doing, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy for the Florida residents that Ron DeSantis. I hope all governors will start to follow that lead. That was a heck of a lead. I really appreciate some of the things and his stances on policy. I think he does a fantastic job. So we're hoping Idaho, Utah, you know, some of these red states will start to follow that lead as well. I mean, who wants to eat out of a Petri dish? I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense. I'm not even going to ever try it. I have no intention to ever even put that in my mouth. So
no, I will never try it either. I don't trust it. You're right. GMO foods are bad enough, right? But this is even worse. So forget it. We're going to the PowerPoint deck and so I can properly introduce Joe Hick, and you know what's interesting is the beef reserve. So this show is called Parallel Food Economy because we need it, right? And I didn't have a picture, Joe, so I put the beef reserve here. Joe Hicks, here we are, CFO of several entities. You know where to find me. So just for the audience, real quick, Boy Scouts of America changing name to the More Inclusive Scouting America. Of course they are, right? It's part of the DEI wokeism. It's a scandal. I was a Boy Scout many, 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 many years ago from 12. And I think I dropped that at 16 because it wasn't for me anymore. I was playing American football, but I did enjoy the 3 or 4 years I was involved.
James, man, I'm really disappointed in that the Boy Scouts, this is a few times they've made some major, you know, changes to their program. I'm an Eagle Scout. Went through the whole program.
You went all the way and I went halfway.
Yeah, but what was great is because it taught me how to be a man back then, right? Like how to survive. I got this wilderness survival. I can go out into the wilderness and survive on my own. What's that?
All sorts of stuff. It really did teach you survival. I agree. And camaraderie with your other scouts.
Right. It was just a bunch of boys trying to learn how to become men and how to, you know, it was a really strong program. And they just changed it, and I'm really disappointed in what they're doing.
Yeah, my father was a volunteer in my scout cabin where I grew up, so it was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So again, for the audience falling down, this is from Donald Trump Jr., right? So this is this is his tweet, and he's telling everyone when the stuff hits the fan, turn the fan on high, do not comply. Do not comply whatever comes next from the globalists, from the Biden regime, from the World Health Organization. Just, you don't have to comply. There's no law saying you do, you just don't do it. Like they're trying to scan your face at airports. That is not a law, it's not even a regulation. They're gonna make you think it's you need to do it, but you don't. So just refuse it. Your passport or your driver's license, if you're flying domestically, is good enough. Now let's get into the beef reserve. So I love this. These are real pictures, right? of cows.
Yeah.
Of an Angus herd in the pasture. Right here, we got them. So this is beautiful. So Idaho is I have not been to that one state, but I've seen pictures. And it looks very beautiful. And then you tag your animals, correct?
What's that?
You tag your animals here, I see.
Yeah, that's called a brand, and you have to follow the brand, right? I mean, it's an ear tag, but it helps to follow the paperwork of the brand. We have multiple types of steer, and some of those tags deal with organic. Some of them deal with grass fed. Some of them deal with just a natural, grain fed cow. We do all three here, and it's just people. I don't know if the average person in public understands how that works out here on the ranch or out here, in the cattle industry. But if you have an organic cow, and it's coming in on a truck and it comes to either our feedlot or, our kill plant, we have to maintain that organic certification. So we have to feed it organic feed. We have to, maintain. So we don't ever kill. We always start with organics in the morning, and then we might go to a grain fed, but you can't do that in the reverse, right? You can't kill a grain fed and then use the same saw on that cow as you did with organic. So it really is a certification, and we do our utmost. We're audited we're certified with, it's called SQF, called Safe Quality Food, SQF certification.
Yep.
And it's a fantastic operation. We try to just do everything, by the book, and we, like I said, we have organic, grass fed, and grain fed. My favorite is grain fed, but that's just because it tastes a little better. But
then in speaking with someone, the beef reserve ages some of their meats. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. Thanks for asking. So people don't realize what the aging process does. Most people, because when I talk to people, just the average person doesn't know. They know that aged is better than not, or in their mind it is something more expensive. And it is more expensive because it takes more time and more effort. But what happens is we put it in the right environment, and the enzymes start breaking down that tissue. And what happens when the enzymes break down that tissue is that basically tenderizes the meat. So if you've been to a really high quality restaurant, it's aged meat, I can promise you, because as you cut through it, you're like, man, that's just not the same as what I'm buying at the store. And so we just thought, hey, let's build this. And we have the facility. Let's build it out and offer this to the public. So you get this top notch, aged beef. And so we do a 21 day age, which is, as long as you need, because that's about the fulfillment of the breaking down of the enzymes. Yep. We also do a 14 day age. So what also happens is it does shrink the cow. It shrinks that carcass, right? But that increases the flavor because it's shrinking. There's more, I don't even know, flavor profiles.
Yeah, that, something.
Yeah, sure. It that's what it's doing, though. It's shrinking it so you get more flavor. So it's more flavorful, more tender. That's the gist of aging.
That is a beautiful thing you're doing, right? So, yeah, I've eaten in my parents from Norway. So my cousin used to buy some what they call Holsteins, is a particular cow over, or beef over in Norway, and they would age it for 28 days. They hang it upside down, the blood runs through it, and all that, and then they age it and you eat it, and it's absolutely delicious. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, some people, just prefer just regular beef, but me personally, the 21 day aged carcass is just absolutely fantastic. And just that tenderness, it just does it for me. So
absolutely. So you were doing something else besides working in ag and stuff. You were involved in something else, and then 2020 happened. Talk to us about your past a little bit and what the COVID lockdowns did to you personally and actually people that worked for you. Go ahead.
Yeah, James, this might take me just a few minutes, but bear with me.
It's worth it.
I was just 45 years old. I was a president of a large event company. And if you have any women in your tribe, that they would recognize this, because 80% of the people that did this event were women. It was a fun family event called the Color Run, and people we would go down to a city like in Los Angeles or New York, and you know, Met City Field in New York or Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, right? And we would rent that stadium out, and people would run a 5K race, not timed, just for fun. And we, it just was rolling. We, in 2012, when it started, it went viral, truly viral. And I'll give you an example. We wanted to do 10 races that first year. We did 57.
Wow.
And second year, we did 134 in the United States, and we did, went to 64 countries. So it truly went viral because it was so fun, and we just would throw color on people every kilometer, and they would just, it was a little bit of that Holi festival from India concept, sure, but just making people just have so much fun. And it was just, it was an amazing event. But then, you know, as we all know, January, February of 2020,
yep,
every governor, every mayor, every city council, my phone was ringing off the hook saying, you can't come. You can't come. We got to shut you down. I'm like, what do you mean? We're outside. We're, you know, like, what do you
there's
mean?
There's no viral mode outside right in the sunlight.
Right. And our customers, they weren't the ones calling us. So the people still wanted to do it. And they said, hey, we'll stay 6 feet away if that's the rule. Because we had five, you know, kilometers or 3 miles to spread people out. And we could give them different times. We said, hey, a family should who's living together should be able to go outside and do something fun. It would have been a great time to get out and, you know, breathe some fresh air, right?
They didn't want us to get out.
Oh, no. But James, this is what happened to me, and I appreciate the question because it's the first time in my life I had to ask. I'm like, what is going on? Like, is my government doing something shady? You know, and like, James, I had never asked that question. Here I am 4 years later, and I have to adamantly answer, yes, our government is doing a lot shady.
Correct.
Right? And with you, we can get into the vaccines. There's so many things that are shady. And out here in the beef world, they're starting to play with that. You got this bird flu that they're saying is infecting these cows.
That's a lie. For my audience who knows me, let me weigh in on the avian flu. It's garbage. It doesn't exist. Yeah. It's another psyop. They want to mask up. And this is where Don Jr. is saying, don't comply, right? Do not comply no matter what. Your government is not your friend. Keep going, Joseph.
Yeah. And so this is where I met some of the friends that you have. I mean, I know you are big into to the autistic fight and autism. Yep. I've met a personal friend of mine, Judy Mikovits, Dr. Judy Mikovits, and learned, you know, about vaccines back then. And I'm like, whoa, I never knew about that. Right.
And then COVID happens. We learn it's not just vaccines. It's everything. It's food. So drinking water. It's freedom to work. Right. It's taxation through inflation, right? It just goes on and on and on. It's just nonstop warning of people by the government. But the good news is the government's got its own internal fight between Donald Trump and the good government and the bad government, the Biden regime. So it's interesting to see how this internal war is going to play out.
Absolutely. And so, I just kept asking those questions, you know, for the last 4 years, James, I've asked, is my government lying to me? Is, the pharmaceutical companies lying to me? Are politicians corrupt? And I'm like, the problem is that every one of them, it's just an absolute yes. You know, I mean, our elections, and I'm not just saying the Donald Trump, I'm just saying elections in general. You can go back and find YouTube videos for 20 years of computer programmers changing code in the, I'm going, that means it's stolen. Like, what are you talking about?
Absolutely correct. And in fact, I covered a story when Samuel Morse invented the Morse code in the 1830s. That was used right away to shut down polling stations early. So even the cabal bankers back in the day, almost 200 years ago, knew how to corrupt and swing and steal elections. They did. They simply said, hey, the polling's done. They closed something early, like in Philadelphia. And a telegraph was used. Morse code was used back in the 1830s to do this. So it's been going on for a couple hundred years, everybody. This is not brand new. It's just shocking the depth and pervasiveness of the elections. And we'll see what happens this fall if there's an election at all.
Yeah, amen, James. Yeah, I really hope they don't do something too crazy on us that, because if we have an election, we know who's winning.
Oh,
So.
no question about it. Joseph, let's talk about, so you transition from being locked down. What am I going to do with the rest of my life? And you walk into the beef reserve. So talk about that change for you. It's a good one, in my opinion.
Yeah. So I was the president of this company. It gets shut down. I had to fire all of my employees. I kept one just to try to keep the assets viable, and but we just realized after a couple of years this thing's not picking up. They have yet to run another race in the last few years. So I left that company as president, and I said, where am I going? And that's where Idaho called my name, and I just said, I'm gonna go to a place where, you know, food is important and essential, you know, beef and clean beef. So that's what brought me to Idaho and this little town called Burley, where we're just meat and potato guys out here. All the farms grow potatoes every 5 years. They do it on a crop rotation to keep that soil, clean and able to grow that topsoil, so we don't damage it. But every farm around here grows. I mean, this is where your French fries come from. So, you know, potatoes and French fries and beef. We're just big in the beef. We in Idaho, we grow all of our own food. So those other 4 years that you're not growing potatoes, you're growing, you know, alfalfa or hay or straw, and it's really to feed the beef cows that are out here on all this pasture land. And it's just a beautiful state. And I'm so happy to be in the beef industry just to bring this product to the public, and know that those of you who will support us, we'll support you when times get tough. You're gonna have, you know, a locker that's we can deliver your meat when you need it.
That is absolutely amazing. So people can simply go to thebeefreserve.com, and I guess there's a menu there to look and they can order and stuff like that.
Yeah, just the home page, you get there and it's some beautiful pictures, but really there's a navigation bar that takes you to how it works if you want to read the details, or you can go right to the shopping page, and then it's just an e-commerce shop, right? That you can just see all the choices you have. We have about 12 choices, anything from a full beef with the three different ages, a half beef with the three different ages, and then a quarter beef. And then we have a couple sample packs if people want to try it, you know, first to go, hey, do I want the 21-day age, or do I just want the 3-day, you know, chill, you know, just fresh meat, you know? So yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful program. We think it's gonna catch fire across the country, at least here, you know, in the West. It's already, you
Yeah,
know, getting some really good hits.
what remind me of, and I'm going to mention Costco by name because, sorry, that's where these videos came from. So some of the people back in 2021, when the vaccines came out, were taking magnets with them, where they weren't just sticking to their body; they're throwing it on the meat, and the magnets would stick to the meat. And everyone was like, "What is this?" So we don't know what the quality of the meat in some of these big box stores are. We just simply don't. I don't trust anything from these giant corporations anymore. It's not only the big media I don't trust, and big tech I don't trust, and big government certainly is out the door, but I don't trust big corporations. And
Yeah,
that I'm not
the
the only one
problem.
feeling this way. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, James, you know, BlackRock, we all know who BlackRock is, this huge entity, right? But they own a good percentage of the three major producers, which is Tyson Foods, you know, Cargill, and JBS. And BlackRock owns those, right? So you're just going, and they're just playing games out there in that market, like you say, because they can. It's kind of a monopoly. And so from a pricing thing, I just disagree with that whole model. And I just think if we can go to your community, my community, our tribes, and start doing it direct to them, we will keep those prices where they need to be. You know, so you know, if you're just going to compare ground hamburger to our ground hamburger, we might be a dollar or two more, but this is delivered to your door, right? But if you take steaks, I mean, Costco steaks right now are a ribeye's over $20 a pound. So you cut that in half with us, right? So when you average it out, we're way less, because over 50% of that cow is steaks and roast. You know, the other 50% is basically ground beef, but 50% of that is expensive meat. And so that's how we really win the long-term game. And then we think our quality is better than all of them, you know, just because of our aging and just all the pastures here in Idaho. These cows are mainly eating, you know, just beautiful pasture grass. So,
and you're cutting out the middleman at the end of the day. This helps keep your prices very competitive, which is great. And plus, we know the source. You are the source.
Right.
Right. So it's not going through whatever Bill Gates or BlackRock or anything else. It is.
No, we know every one of our ranchers by name. Some of these ranchers go from as far as Montana from us, you know, bordering state to Colorado. We've received cows from or steer from Colorado, but most of them are right here in Idaho and down the street from us, you know. They're just local farmers, local ranchers that are raising their Black Angus beef. Sometimes it's Red Angus, but most of the time it's Black Angus beef that we're buying and raising and putting it in the reserve so we can offer it to the people.
Yeah, I'm going to leave the link to your website on the show notes. Joseph Hicks, please close out the show in any direction you like. Take a couple minutes. Implore people to really, it's time. If you're going to eat beef, eat it healthy. Know the source. Go ahead, Joseph.
Yeah, man, James, I appreciate just this whole conversation. There's just so much, you know, information out there that I implore people to just do some research on just what our government's doing and what they're doing to our food supply. I mean, we could get into the entire conversation in another show, James, about food rationing, you know, and we don't have to go back to, you know, the story of Joseph in the Bible, you know, which was food rationing. And there's that story there. Or we could go to the French Revolution, you know, a couple hundred years ago. But we can just go back to World War I, World War II. That's in the last 100 years and see that food rationing is happening and it's coming again, right? And so we just got to make sure you have a supply of meat for you and your family and your community. And I don't care if churches want to get together. We don't care who calls us or who reaches out. I will answer personally every email that somebody, if they have a question, they come right to my inbox and I get five or six a day that I respond to. So I'll respond. We will make a win-win for us and for you. You know, if you want to do a couple cows for a church group or something like that, we will make it happen. But eat clean beef, you know, make sure you have something on reserve, you know, and if you have the space, there are some people that I used to own a big freezer, you know, looked like a coffin, and I would fill that up with beef. So I didn't need to this locker concept, but I can promise you now in these big cities, I mean, they don't even have parking space, let alone an extra freezer.
Correct.
You know, so yeah, just we're offering this and this locker concept, which is brand new to the public. And we just know we have an amazing high quality product. You can get it aged, which is restaurant. I mean, when I say restaurant, top restaurant quality that you can cook on your grill and go, I've never tasted meat so tasteful and so tender. And there's a difference and people don't realize that's what it is. And you know, top chefs realize that's what you're doing, but we just want to offer that to you and your community and your tribe, James. Appreciate everything you're doing for our country and, you know, just trying to win back one day at a time, just the souls of our friends out there.
Yep. Joe Hicks, you know, food is extremely important. Having another, I would say, outsource or, you know, a place to have food storage for you that's not necessary in your home. I think that is also very brilliant. And it's great. And people, I will leave in the show notes, thebeefreserve.com. There's a FAQ, right? Frequently asked questions, tells you, you know, the entire process. And then, of course, the shopping cart, as Joe said. Joe Hicks, thank you very much for coming on the show. I appreciate your time.
You're awesome, James. Thank you.